Amen. But let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the ones that are here. We thank you the ones that are not here. There's some folks traveling, going to visit family, and going on summer vacations, and that's okay, Lord. I love to hear when families are getting together and going doing fun things and spending time together, you know, with their children and grandchildren and seeing their parents and grandparents. It's just so awesome. I love that. And so we do pray for all the folks and pray that they'll have traveling mercies. They'll be able to come back here and not have any issues as they're traveling around. And Lord, we do just pause just a minute and just join together and pray for little Brock. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, you provide the healing and the comfort and the strength that everyone in his life needs at this point now. And we do lift him up. Lift him up to you, Lord. I ask that you bless him. We pray, Lord, for all the folks in our church family who may be feeling down and sick. Just pray in Jesus' name for them. And, Lord, we do pray for our country. We could pray, as always, from the top leaders all the way down. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, we know that we're all really sinners in desperate need of a Savior, and we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for everything that he means to us. Thank you for his grace and mercy. Pray for our military and our missionaries running all over the world. Help me find my little army man. In Jesus' name, amen. It's okay, I can pray for that, can I? Through the vacation Bible school, he got moved. Was he? Where's he at now? I'm rascally kids. They probably got him. Sorry. Remember Scooby-Doo? They'd say, we'd have got away with it if it went for those meddling kids. Sorry. Lynn and I were, you know, isolated, quarantined for 5 days, and so we started watching TV, you know, and I actually watched the original 1969 Scooby-Doo episode. Some of you are old, you know, my age and older, you don't understand what that means. It was nostalgic. I was touched. Okay? Anyway. So we've got communion today. We're going to partake of communion, Lord's Supper. What a precious time, you know, it is. And I was praying this week about the message and what I felt like the Lord wanted to put on my heart. And I felt like he did put something on my heart. For me this week, it kind of reminds me of the covenant agreement that we have with God. And some of you, this will be elementary, but I'm going to explain it anyway. And this is the way I explain it to people, especially new Christians that become born again. They always ask about, you know, the Old Testament, New Testament. And what does the word testament mean? You know, you got the Old Testament, New Testament. You got the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And that word covenant means a contract. It means an agreement. You know, in other words, the old agreement that God had with mankind is under this old agreement, this contract that God had with mankind, this old agreement. And then, you know, we all know the story, Jesus coming, they become a new covenant. A new agreement with mankind. So now God has a new agreement, a new covenant with mankind. And both those covenants were sealed in what? Blood. So this morning, I want us to kind of focus on the blood covenant agreement that we have with God. That is really, for me, that's super precious, knowing that there's nothing I can do to make God love me any more, and there's nothing I can do to make God love me any less, that I have eternal security. And then when I do mess up, not if, but when I do mess up, you know, God is faithful and just, forgives me of my sins, and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. So I have this blood covenant contract, this agreement with God that I am now a citizen of heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's nothing, no power, no enemy, no anything that can pluck me out of God's hand. I am secure because of the blood that flowed down that old rugged cross we talked about. We, you know, sung about. Which one is it? Sang? Sung is from Lapahaw, isn't it? All right, so I'm gonna read something to you, and then we're gonna go into the communion time. But this comes out of the book of Hebrews, and don't turn there with me if you don't mind. I'd rather really you listen, because I'm reading it from the NLT version, which I really do like a lot. Chuck Swindoll has a Bible that he's really kind of promoting right now, the NLT version. But this kind of sums it up. It won't take me just a minute, and we'll do this. It says, that first covenant between God and people, God and Israel, to be more specific, had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that temple. In the first room, there were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table, just like we have here. This room was called the holy place. Then there were a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place. In that room were a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called what? The Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. You'd be surprised at the Christians who actually forget what's inside of the Ark of the Covenant. It's interesting. I want to create a sermon around this, but it says, inside the Ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Now, I'm not going to expound on that, but I really want to. So we'll store that one up for later. It says, above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, which was the place of atonement. It says, when things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place. And he only did that once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people who had committed these in ignorance. Think about that one. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance of the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system as represented was still in use. So they were still using this. This really is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priest offered, listen closely, is not able to cleanse the consciousness of the people who bring them. For that old system, the old covenant is referring to, deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies. Physical revelations and regulations that were in effect until a better system could be established. And that better system is what we're celebrating this morning. It goes on to say that, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With His blood, we sang about that this morning, with His blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Listen to God's word on this now. Listen. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Now just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. So that we can worship the living God. See, when our conscience starts feeling bad, it's hard to worship God. When our conscience is eating at us, I mean, the Bible clearly says it makes it difficult for us to worship God. And the devil loves to get a foothold right there. It's called unresolved issues, resentment, bitterness, those kind of things. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. For the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why He is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. You're going to inherit this promise if you're saved and born again, right? We're going to inherit this promise. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sin. They had committed under the first covenant. See, the people who are not born again, they're really still living under the first covenant. They're living under that. They're trying their best to at least obey the Ten Commandments. At least. And we all know, if we're honest, no one can obey the Ten Commandments. Jesus taught us about that, didn't He? If we're honest with ourselves. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death, while the person has made it and is still alive. The will cannot be put into effect. So hang with this one. That is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal. For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats along with water and sprinkled both the book of God's law and all the people, using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said, "The blood confirms the covenant God has made with you." Please think about this as we're taking communion this morning. This blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and on everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, for that old rugged cross. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with far better sacrifices than the blood of animals. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. On our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again and again like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year after year with the blood of an animal. Please let this get deep down in your hearts. Most of you know this, but I don't know if you do or not. But it goes on to say, if that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, here's the part, but now, once, for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once, and then after that comes the judgment, so also Christ was offered once, for all time, as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. That, my friends, is Hebrews 9. I encourage you to go back and study it and read it during your own time. So my question this morning before we do communion, are you eagerly waiting for him? Are you anticipating? I love the word Maranatha. It means come, Lord, quickly. Take us out of this sick, sinful, wicked world that's only going to get worse. And I'm not being pessimistic or negative. That's what the Bible says, right? That's why we need to stick together. That's why we need to support one another. That's why we need to quickly forgive one another and be patient with one another. Amen? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Are you still living under the old covenant, trying to follow the rules and regulations? Or are you living in the New Testament, in the new covenant, the new agreement with God? It's not based on our works. It's not based on what we do or what we don't do. It's based on God's love, His grace, His mercy. And he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins, for my sins, for your sins, so that we can be children of God. Be citizens of heaven. And we are now. And we will always be forever and ever. Amen.